Before I really begin, it's always a tough thing when you've had a pastor for years and someone else then comes into the pulpit. And because, as you can tell, my style is different. Oh, okay.
We love you, Dave.
I love you too, David. And Fred has such a gentle, kind, loving manner that he is, and you're just so blessed by him, and you bless him greatly. And so I hope that I'm delivering the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Grace, mercy, and peace of our Lord and Father, Jesus Christ, be with you. Thank you. It's been roughly 1,990 years since the resurrection. Now, we've been practicing the resurrection in Easter Sunday, but the disciples hadn't. It was all incredibly new. In fact, the Gospel of Mark says it ends with, "The tomb was empty." And then it just stops. Last week, Pastor Fred mentioned that in the earliest versions that we find of the Gospel of St. Luke, it ends when it says, the women told the disciples what they had seen, but the disciples didn't believe them. So we've developed so many things from the Bible and from our practice as a congregation. I was just appalled to learn that there's no luncheon at noon after they found the grave empty. That's why we didn't show up. See, already I've begun by lying to you. No, it's Harry's fault. Because the tradition of the Gozzard family is to gather together for Easter as a family. It's a great tradition. And you have great traditions too. But in the 1,990 years, there's stuff we take for granted. And this is a wonderful gospel, which begins simply by Jesus showing up. Now, have you ever sat Shiva? You know what Sat Shiva is? If you're a good Jew, is that if someone dies, you try to get their body into the ground as soon as you can, and there's no time to grieve at that moment, so you spend the next 10 days gathering together and sitting together, talking about that person who has died. And if you understand the Jewish faith as it has developed from the time of Abraham, oh, I already see I'm going beyond 12 minutes. I wanted to be up there because I'm so short. But if you understand the Hebraic faith, there's no resurrection. There's nothing in the Old Testament really about a resurrection, about God reestablishing the kingdom of King David. But the idea that you come back from the dead. And Jews are very practical folks. When you're dead, you're dead. Now, Martha and Mary, they saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. They saw him say to that little girl who was dead, Tabitha, Kaum, with little child, get up. He raised her from the dead. Touched his hand on the coffin of that guy being taken out of the city, raised him up and gave him back to his mother. So they saw that Jesus could do miracles, but they hadn't really understood that Jesus is God. Why would God die so horribly on a cross? Is that how God works? And if you're a good Jew, you understood that if you are fat, it means that God loves you. Do you know that? I had a professor in seminary who went golfing with other rich Lutherans, and they were trim, and he was just big, rotund, with this huge beard. Sorry, I'm getting away from that. And they were Missouri Synod. And he was the ELCA pastor. And they said, we Missouri Synod, we know the Bible. And since he's a seminary professor, he says, it's too bad you don't believe the Bible. You go, what? Yeah, fatness is the sign of God's grace, and you guys are skinny. Sorry, I'm really wasting time now. Okay. But the idea that when you're dead, you're dead. And that for Jesus to have an empty tomb, they didn't know how to deal with that. And he even says, they were behind locked doors for fear of their own countrymen. Well, they turned Jesus over. Maybe they're going to come for us. Now, I don't want you have to attend a lot of funerals, but you've probably been to Brandt Funeral Home or Toma before it closed. There's the Sperling Funeral Home. I don't know. What's the funeral home that usually is frequented by this congregation?
Brandt's,
okay. That's the other problem, is that I even ask questions of you. It really frightened the congregations I started with, because they were told they had to be quiet. When you were a kid, were you told, be quiet? When you participate, it's part of the worship. When's the last time someone sat up in the casket at Brandt? And what would you do? Jesus! Jesus appears in the middle of them, which is the first thing. This is a supernatural event. I know we are realistic. We believe in solid good things. But we're saying in this Easter season, this is a supernatural event, and that Jesus is God. He has destroyed sin and death. He has risen from the dead. And when we see a dead person, imagine Jimmy Carter or Ronald Reagan appearing right now in the middle. What would you ask him? Jesus does the most sensible thing. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Twice in a row. When Jesus says something twice in a row, you better go, ah, he means it. Because what happens when you have peace? When you have peace, they have found this out. Your brain works better. You're able to learn stuff. And if he just appears as this ghost, you ever see little kids panic? And you try to say, calm down, calm down, calm down. That's what God's saying to us kids. Peace be with you. What are you worried about this year? Doreen, how quickly will it heal up? Peace be with you. We'll take care of you. He says that twice. Now I'm going to skip. That when Jesus, Thomas isn't there, right? Have you ever been fooled by twins? Yeah. The twin isn't there. And I was 6 years old, maybe 7 years old, when the Bay of Pigs invasion happened. Mark really isn't familiar with that, but you know the big Bay of Pigs invasion? Fidel Castro had taken over Cuba, got rid of the Batista family. The communists go, oh, good, we can now put nuclear missiles in Cuba, roughly 80 miles from America. And so Kennedy, with the whiz kids, Robert McNamara, Secretary of Defense, Robert Kennedy, Attorney General, Bob McFarland, you know, the inner circle, the cabinet, they came up with the idea, let's invade Cuba. We'll invade at the, you know, the Bay of Pigs. It was a huge failure. Psychologists studied it and said, what happened? And a thing called groupthink was there. Groupthink is when you're afraid to say anything because everyone else is agreeing. They're afraid to say to JFK, let's think about this for a moment. You have the 10 disciples at this point going, we saw Jesus. But the twin goes, I wasn't there. You got to prove it to me. This could be something wrong. And that's one of the greatest blessings, that someone said, I don't believe the resurrection. I was in seminary, and there were a couple students to become Lutheran pastors who didn't believe Jesus rose from the dead. Oh, I was hoping to hear a, See, we are dealing with eternal supernatural stuff. But this world, no. Jesus rose from the dead. And this twin goes, I know. It could be Jesus had a twin brother. Did you know Jesus had a twin brother? Maybe he did. Well, I'm going to make sure that this person that appeared really is Jesus. I got to see where the scars are. I got to put my fist through his side. See, this is not only for Thomas, it's for us, that Jesus is real. I know it looks like I'm playing church, but this is more real than anything else in the world, because I want you to rise from the dead. I want you to know that your sins have been forgiven. I want you to know that God has done the most wonderful, incredible thing, and that as much as this world can be a rotten place, God is redeeming it, and he has chosen you as his children. So Thomas says, prove it. And Jesus does. Good. Put it right in. Wow. If you really need God to prove something, ask him. He knows your heart and mind. And that's what partly this Sunday was about. And when I was getting my doctorate at Pittsburgh Theological, where Fred got his, it's not at the same time, but there was a man there who was a Lutheran pastor who had come from India. And he talked about the Thomasine Church, that Thomas started the church in India. So this doubter saw the truth. Jesus is living. And that our sins are forgiven. What am I up to now? I stopped counting. 6-2, that's you. Now comes the main message, right? Now that you believe Jesus is risen from the dead, Jesus is God, your sins are forgiven, now comes the real message for all of us. And that message is, the Father sent me, that's what it says right there, I'm sending you. To do what? If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. What's going to happen between Russia and the Ukraine? What's going to happen in Northern Ireland? What's going to happen on the Gaza Strip? What's going to happen if there's any... You don't have to answer this. But do you have any family problems? People you don't talk to in the family? Okay. That's our big mission. Simply forgive. And I was at two churches for 37 years where some people left the church because they couldn't forgive. Or people who stayed couldn't forgive them. Imagine the body of Christ not forgiving. That's all we do. Forgive. Most of the money we spend in armaments and all this stuff, just forgive. That isn't weakness, that's strength. Because I know I stand in the Lord who has purchased and won me from death and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Come on, join me. That's the explanation of the second article of the creed that you learned in confirmation class, right? You're supposed to say yes. Yeah, you can lie to me. Your sins are forgiven. You're new creatures in Christ. And now you're about to be joined with Him, taking the real body, the real blood of God inside you. So you have the power to say the very thing Jesus said on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You are free in Christ to be the light of the world because the living Christ lives in you. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus until He comes. Amen.